Well, here we are again, another episode of What the Hell is Wrong with the Church?
Or What the Heck is Wrong with the Church?
Yeah. Or also, What the Hell is Wrong with the World? What's wrong with us?
Yeah.
So we're just driving the special edition podcast because we're driving home from work now. And we decided to make a short little podcast. So.
Yep. So, yeah, last time we kind of hinted on money and people getting paid, like pastors and staff getting paid in the church, and whether that's good or necessary, or how many staff be in the church. And then you get the question of all the regular people who are not getting paid, and how is the balance of the work between paid and the non-paid staff kind of thing. What do you think? Well, first of all, should there be any paid people in the church, including the pastor? Is it even biblical?
Yeah, very good question.
Well, there's a verse. There's lots of verses, actually, regarding money in the Bible. I mean, the main verse is that workers deserve their pay, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're working, whether it's any job, right, nobody works for free. I mean, it's just common sense. So I guess pastors, since they're spending their time at the church doing various things, they need to get paid, or else how are they going to make a living and support their family and... So the general rule is that whoever works gets paid, should get paid, whatever the work is. But when it comes to ministry, it's kind of blurry because it's like Apostle Paul, he was a tent maker. He had his own business making tents. At the same time, he was doing ministry full time, or a lot of ministry, and he wasn't getting paid a lot of times. And then, and also, how do you juggle that in this world?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very hard questions, bro. I don't know. A few verses pop in my mind. One is in the Old Testament for the Levites.
Yeah.
Like, the Levites were not allowed to own any property, right?
Yeah, I was thinking of that too. Yeah,
so all the Jewish people, the Israelites, were supposed to tithe to support them.
Yeah.
The Levites, I don't know why, the reason, but for some reason they were supposed to be dedicated to serving God and in the temple or something, or not temple, but I guess the tent, the Ark of the Covenant and stuff, and they're supposed to do the singing for worship. They're divided, they were like set apart from everyone else. They couldn't.
Yeah.
So therefore they didn't do other jobs that other people did, and they were not allowed to own property like other people did. So they had no inheritance, and their kids had no inheritance. So they were depending on the rest of the people who were allowed to own property, who were allowed to have slaves, who were allowed to work on different jobs, who were allowed to make money and accumulate wealth. The Levites were not allowed to accumulate wealth. They had nothing but the Ark of the Covenant, I guess, the tent and the temple and stuff. So that's why, in that kind of culture that God ordained, they were given like tithes, and it's about 10%. But nowadays, the pastors and the church people, they own property. They're allowed to get married. I guess the Levites were too. They're allowed to get married, allowed to own property, allowed to go on vacation, allowed to accumulate wealth, buy mutual funds, do whatever. So they're not set apart in the same way as the Levites are in their service to God. But they get paid a salary, and sometimes pretty good.
But they're at the church 40 hours a week kind of thing, right? So how do you work another job on top of that, right?
Yeah, that's true. So
unless you can divide your time, which some pastors do.
Like Apostle Paul, right? Apostle Paul did that.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I know lots of pastors, or not lots, but I've spoken to quite a few pastors who divide their time between other jobs, secular jobs, and ministry, because for main reason being, this church is too small. It's a startup church, so they can't afford a full-time pay. So yeah. they have to work a different job part-time
yeah.
in order to make it work financially. But speaking to these people, most of the time, it doesn't work because it's too hard to keep up with both. Because usually, most of the time, ministry takes up a lot of time. You're spending, you know, more than part-time hours. If say full-time is 40 hours standard in North America, or then you're spending, if you divide half and half, it should be 20 hours in your ministry, 20 hours in your business or whatever job. Technically, if that you can do that and make it work, it could work. But realistically, it never works out, at least from the people I talk to, because ministry always takes more time. You know, you're looking at 30, even 40 hours, and then to keep up with your job, some depending on what kind of business or job you have, that may not pay you enough. So you might need to work 20 or 30 hours or more. Again, depends. So in the end, you're working 50, 60, even 70 hours a week or more sometimes, and it doesn't work. So that's a dilemma.
Yeah, it is a dilemma. You're totally right. Guess what? For me, bringing up the Levites was reason why was because I wanted to show that God had a really good kind of system to set up. Not like that's the only way, because Apostle Paul was different than that. In the New Covenant, New Testament, things have been kind of changed a little bit different than the Old Testament, I guess. And so the Israelites were kind of set apart from the world. There's so many laws where most of them were set up to make them different than the people in the world, to not fall into the same traps of sin and culture as other people. Like even things like not mixing your fabric and not shaving the sides of your head, like a lot of stuff like that, which was really strict to keep them kind of separate from the worldly, worldly people. But in the New Testament, New Covenant, Jesus said that that the Holy Spirit would live inside us. And the Old Testament, I think Isaiah says one day, God's laws will be written in our heart. And then Jesus says that we are not of the world, but we're in the world. And Apostle Paul says that, he'll be all things to all men. So in order to save some, so even when he went to Greece, he was like engaging their culture when they had the unknown God. He did, you know, of course Greece had a lot of Greek mythology, but instead of like kind of condemning them for their false religion, he just said that, hey, you know, you have all these different gods, but one of them, he said, you don't know who this God is. I'll tell you who it is. And even also Apostle Paul would quote from their own prophets and from their own poets. I'm not sure if you know this, but, you know, quoted from their poems saying that, look, you know, the Creator gives us life, you know, and other things like that. So definitely I think there's a big difference between the Old and New Testament, which a lot of people don't realize, it seems like.
Let's clarify. So the Levite idea, did that continue on in the New Testament?
I don't think it did.
Okay, so it died out in the Old Testament.
I think a lot of things change. Like in the Old Testament, in the temple, there was like a veil, you know, holies of holies, separating a God from the people. And even the priests who were allowed to go there, only a certain highest of the priests can go, and they have to be cleansed like crazy for 7 days or something before they're allowed to go in. Yeah. But because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, he broke that barrier between a sinful man and holy God. So now the holy God lives inside each believer, so that each of us become temples, actually. The Bible, Paul says the same thing. We are the temple of God. So I think that a lot of things changed. And like Jesus said, you know, there's new wine now, but people still prefer the old. What I think is a big problem in the church these days regarding money and or everything, but especially regarding money and the way to do church, is they're mixing the old old and new together. They're trying to put new wine and old wine skins, and then it's bursting, and that's why that's a dilemma. That's the so in regards with money, the people be arguing for certain things, like, oh, you have to pay them or you don't pay them, whatever, and they're just mixing the two cultures together. And definitely Jesus was so clear about that. You cannot put new wine in old wineskin.
Yeah.
So bringing up the Levites, I'm just saying that was old wine and old wineskin, and it worked. And so now we got to find a way for the new wine with new wineskin, which I don't think, maybe no one since 2,000 years ago have figured it out, except for maybe Apostle Paul and those guys, the original apostles. I don't know.
Okay, that's funny how it hasn't been figured out. If we put it this way, Apostle Paul made it work, of course. But then he wasn't married, and he chose not to be, and he had more time and freedom.
Yeah, especially in jail.
We know what commitment it takes to have a wife and kids if you're in that situation, which I am, and it's a completely different life than a singlehood life.
Yeah.
But it's called good, but it's a different story than Apostle Paul, and he chose not to.
Yeah.
It's going to take up too much time. So Apostle Paul is an example for single,
because
you'll have more time, and maybe it could work in that case. And I don't know how much he made with his tent making business, but maybe it was a good business. Maybe he made lots of money per hour, and he didn't have to work as much, and that helped him to do more ministry. So if you're in that situation where you have a good business, not employees, it's not going to make a lot of money, and you can't work part time.
It could be if you have a good master.
Well, yeah, it could, but you're limited in your. Most companies these days, today's day and age, don't hire part time and give full time, or not nearly as much money for part timers, right?
Yeah.
So trying to find a part-time job with good, really good pay is tough or almost not possible. So to be in business for yourself, self-employed, is the better way to go, I think, because you can set your own hours and decide how much you're going to work and decide how much you're going to charge. And that's what Apostle Paul did. So if you're in that situation, and you can work only 20 hours a week and devote 20 hours to ministry, then that's a solution. And not get married, or even getting married, trying to divide 40 hours a week. But again, that's easier said than done. Let's just leave that at that and go to another...
Actually, I want to say something about that.
Okay, okay.
So what you said could be one way, but I don't think it's the best way or the only way. And really, in North America here, man, it's like a lot harder to serve God, I think, than a lot of developing countries. I went to another country before, and the pastor and the wife were both working together. They're selling fried bananas during the weekdays, during daytime. Together, they're doing it together. And then they had, of course, a Wednesday night Bible study and some other activities throughout the week. And then, of course, Sunday worship, whatever. And they would work together on that too, and be with other Christians and stuff. And I love that. I wish I had a marriage like that, in the future. And then they were actually, secretly, we found out that they were actually making way more money selling fried bananas than a lot of workers working in offices in that country.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. They have their own business.
Side
business, which is making them, putting good money, working on their terms. And then you're doing, ministry on the side.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think about ministry on the side, because... that business was kind of connected to the ministry too, because the husband and wife were together. They could talk about things and pray for people, and then a lot of church people would come, and then they would donate stuff. So there was some division a bit, like, we have to spend this time in the church, and this time in another brother's house for Bible study, whatever, and this time out on the streets selling fried bananas or whatever. But they had so much joy, and to them, they don't have the separation between ministry and work. It's just to them, they said everything is ministry, even selling bananas. And sometimes they would even share the gospel to people who are customers and stuff. And Yeah, so I think the North American mentality is always kind of like specializing, separating, dividing, denominations, always like that. Whereas like in the more primitive or low class or poor, undeveloped cultures, they don't really make these lines.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's awesome. And yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that, and how the marketplace is actually the mission field.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And
that's where the world is.
Yeah. So yeah, I totally agree. Well, that brings to the question: why do we even need a pastor then? Is it even necessary? You know.
Yeah, so this is where it comes to my point. So, in contrast to what we said about earlier about the new wineskin or the old wineskin with the new wine, Catholic Church is doing stuff really traditionally, so very ritualistic, very similar to the Old Testament style. So, I would say that for the Catholic Church, they're still using old wine and old wineskin. For instance, the priests are not allowed to get married. They have a lot of rules, right, to separate them from the regular people, or even monks or nuns, you know. So the Catholic Church has that. So a lot of Protestants will disagree with it. Personally, I think that you don't have to be like that in order to serve God. But what, you know, so maybe if they're limited that way, is not so good. But what's good about what they're doing is they're putting together the old wine with the old wineskin, so that these people don't have kids. Right? They devote themselves completely to God. They don't have like spouses. They don't have property. Right? They don't, like the Catholic Church would just take care of them because they sacrifice so much to serve God.
Yeah.
So it's old wine with old wine skin.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. So that's why people just donate money to them, and the church just gives money to them to do ministry.
I guess.
Yeah. But the problem with the Protestant church, I think, is mixing the old wine, new wine skin.
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes it really confusing.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what can we do about that then? What is the new wineskin model then? What should be in the, again, let's try to think ahead in heaven. What's it going to look like? Are we going to have pastors like we have today? Or, I mean, we don't know, but trying to make an estimated guess, maybe what will be an ideal situation?
I don't know. But one thing I do know, brother, is that the work that I do some ministry in some schools, but also teach some musical instruments in the school, as you know, and then I do some other kind of jobs on the side, like property management or whatever, and to me it's all ministry, because I share God with all these people. Of course, in school, in this North American anonymous city, you're not allowed to share God, so that makes it a little bit harder. If they didn't have that rule, it'd be so much easier to just, I'm just going to teach you guys, and then I'll openly share God's love with you.
But I guess the question is, do you get paid for all of those?
To get paid? Yeah, so I think in North America, if the government didn't make these anti-religion laws, then it would be so easy for me or for a lot of people just to share God wherever you go. Just do a regular job. You don't even need to be a pastor. You know, in fact, by having a job teaching musical instruments or like working in a company, the mission feels right there for you.
Yeah.
And then you get paid. It's like, even you get paid very little, you wouldn't care, because, oh my God, I get to be paid to share the gospel in this office. But now there's rules that you can't do that. So then it separates you, and then now you have to choose, I have to survive and stay in this office and secretly share the gospel or whatever, or it's too much, it's too limiting, so I just gotta quit that job and serve God in somewhere openly, or like in a church or whatever. I don't know. So I find in North America there's so many rules that make the hinder.
Yeah.
And there's actually, to me, that's kind of prejudice and discrimination, and actually persecution too, but a lot of people don't realize it, because a lot of people I find in the church don't actually evangelize. But when you actually try to do that, which I actually have, I face a lot of challenges. And I ended up just doing a lot of things for free for a long time. And by the grace of God, He's given me certain jobs that right now, by the grace of God, I'm actually teaching musical instruments
which I never thought about. You're a perfect example. You help out so much at the church, and you know, like you say, you do all these.
I don't get paid at the church.
Ministry. Yeah, exactly. But you probably spend like probably
hours.
Half. I don't know. I start to say how much, but half the time than the full-time paid pastor does. You know, again, you're spending a lot of time, but then you're not getting anything, and the pastor's getting full-time pay. Yeah. You know, so that's the question I'm trying to raise. Like, why is that happening? Is that even biblical, or what's the best way around it? And you know, I mean.
Yeah.
I think we live in this, our society has, this church society has just, the whole system is just kind of needs some work, I think.
By the grace of God, probably have to finish up soon. I don't know the answer, but what I do know is God is faithful, way more faithful than I can be. Like if I think I'm faithful and I try to serve Him and obey Him, man, when you actually take a leap of faith and serve Him, you'll find out that He's way more faithful than we are to Him. Like, He has provided for me in so many miraculous ways, and I just think that doesn't matter what the culture is. A lot of people think it does, or the economy, or whatever. God has these kind of universal laws that just work.
Yes,
so that even if you're in a rich country and you're poor, or you're in a poor country, you don't know the language, or who knows what it is, His Spirit will lead you. I know it's not easy. I've gone through so much hardship, but by the grace of God, things worked out. I'll give an example. Some stuff is made not that good to some people, but I'm willing to sacrifice. So I'm still single. I had some failed relationships because they didn't understand the way I thought. I was willing to just give up everything to serve God, and I'm still struggling to do that more now. I think I haven't even gotten there. But the way that I've given up my what I have to serve God, a lot of people think I'm crazy already and think it's too much or don't agree with it. And I think I haven't given enough to Him yet. For Him dying for me and to save me, I can never give up enough to make up for that. But just chasing after Him and seeking His kingdom first, His righteousness, I found that these universal laws where some people call this, I don't believe in this tool. I actually believe in it, but there's a thing called the secret, and it's all about the universe will attract, you attract certain things. You know what? There's definitely some truth to it. But they leave out God, which I don't agree with. But definitely, I believe God has universal laws, and it's more than karma. It's more than you're attracting universal things. God actually knows intimately every hair on your head and what you're doing and your heart and why you're doing it. And He definitely blesses us and rewards us. And I found that when I had no money, or had somehow God would provide a place for me to live and to house it for someone. You know, and that person begged me to house it for them. It's like miraculous. Many things like that. And even when my point is, I can't get into everything, all the details, but the point is that there's a lot of problems in the church, and I think when we try to fit into the society and try to make it work, sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't, because the world will always make new rules, or new laws, or new tax laws, or new things, and then it makes it, what you're doing, not even available no more to do. And this is even worse in some countries where all of a sudden, you're not allowed to preach the gospel no more. And in a way, in our North American countries, we kind of have that too. Not in a certain setting, can't preach the gospel no more. So, but I find that God is always faithful, always opens the door somehow, some way. So I think the solution, I don't know the exact solution, I don't think there is, but the solution, I think, is just to trust God and ask the Holy Spirit to help us trust Him more, and help us to sacrifice and seek His kingdom first. And trust that He will provide, because Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 6, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and He'll add those other things. And what are those other things He talked about? Clothing and food, and maybe I think shelter too. I guess in His context, in Israel, they didn't really, it was pretty warm, so they didn't have to, you won't freeze to death, so you just focus more on clothing and food. But basically, the basic necessities, God said He'll give it to us. So we have to seek His kingdom first, His righteousness. And
right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. There's a lot of things you said there. I mean, it brings up a lot of different debates as well, which you can save for next time. I mean,
yeah.
But we kind of have to wrap this up, because we're here now, and how should we end this?
Always with a prayer. You pray this time.
But trying to wrap it up.
Oh yeah, wrap it up. Good. Yeah, you're good at that. Summary.
So help me to...
Okay, maybe I'll wrap it up. So the first question you're asking about money, how does Christians relate to money and the church, and how do we do this stuff, and should the pastor be paid or not paid? And I think the main thing we figured out was that we talked about the Levites, and we talked about how basically there's the old wineskin with the new wine, and so one good example is the Catholics have been doing things the same way for thousands of years, and so even though a lot of people disagree what they're doing, but their servants don't own stuff. So it's very similar to the Old Testament Levites. They don't own anything, so the Catholic Church just takes care of them, and they serve God.
Whereas, should we do that still?
Yeah. So, and then we also talked about Paul, who was a Pharisee, taken care of by the temple and stuff, but then he became a Christian, and then the church just weren't supporting him really sometimes. Mm-hmm. Some did, but some didn't. So he just trusted in God, and God gave him a job, a business, building tents. He never built tents before, I don't think, because he was a Pharisee. But then God, by his grace, gave him some talents and some opportunities and connections to sell tents.
Yeah.
And God just provided for him, even though the churches
wouldn't.
Unfortunately,
Paul doesn't talk much about his business and, you know, all this thing we're talking about. I hope he did, you know, but...
I think he talked enough. He said it was enough for him.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, well...
And you said he wasn't married, so that makes a big difference. So by God's grace, even the marriage and the work and stuff, like, he will make it work out. And even if you are married, or you're not married, or thinking about getting married, I met some couples who talked about the couple in the mission field that met, the pastor and his wife together worked together in the business. And together they pastor. So this is by God's grace. Every situation is individual. It's mm-hmm. totally different. We can't be all expect to be like Apostle Paul. We can't all expect to be like the Levites, especially now the veil is torn. Mm-hmm. There's no more that separation. It's different now. Every human being who believes in Jesus is a temple of Christ. So to wrap it up, I say we cannot mix new wine with old wineskin. And I think the Protestant church has been doing that, kind of. Mm-hmm. And a lot of confusion comes from that. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Either we stick to the old model, like the Catholics do, which we don't, or we have to just follow Paul, not exactly the way he did it, but follow him as in just trusting God will provide, whether through the churches sometimes, or through business, whether through having a wife to work together, or just being single. Somehow, if we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, he'll take care of us, and we can continue serving him.
Okay, that sounds good. I gotta get going, but let's just quickly pray and end this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day and another opportunity to record this podcast. And we just thank you for today's discussion. And we just pray for your continued revelation and guidance upon this matter of money and the church and who should get paid and who should not be, or all this and all this. And we just pray for... We know that in heaven, well, I don't know what's going to happen in heaven, but we know that we live in a fallen world, and there's a lot of things wrong with this world, and the devil is twisted and turned every little thing, and even the church, or especially the church, the devil has torn every little thing and trying to destroy it, and we're in that situation here. But we know that you are coming soon, and we look forward to the time when you make everything new, and we will know and live in a perfect world. Yes. And so we just look forward to that time, and until then, we just pray for clarity and wisdom and discernment, so that we can at least take a turn in that right direction, and then that we can experience your perfect plan and will in all of this, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.